So one of my off-season priorities for LSU, I mentioned it on the podcast, and we'll continue to get into it into more detail as the off-season progresses. But one of my top priorities for LSU was defensive depth at all positions, specifically at the cornerback position. So what has LSU been up to in order to address that off-season need? We'll get into all of that, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcast. Plus, we're on YouTube as well. So you can listen on your preferred podcast platform. But of course, you can watch on YouTube. Just search Locked On LSU in the search bar. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I'm your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I've been covering LSU sports since 2016, and I'm now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee. And don't you forget that Locked On LSU is part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. So I mentioned this when the transfer portal window just started to open right around the early signing period, that one of my biggest priorities for rebuilding for 2023 for this LSU football team was defensive depth. And that's all across the board. You're going to have to continue to add in pieces and rebuild the defensive line. You don't lose B.J. Ojulari, Ali Gay, and Jaquelin Roy and get better. You're going to have to invest into those positions. Linebacker is another position of need. Of course, that is even more so now that DeMario Tolan has decided to transfer out of LSU. Linebacker is a position of need. But I think the most glaringly obvious position of need that LSU has in this offseason was cornerback. LSU returns two scholarship corners from 2022 to 2023, one being Seven Banks, a player that transferred into LSU from Ohio State because he was always injured at Ohio State, really had a difficult time kind of working his way up the depth chart, and who also was injured for a majority of his time in his first year at LSU in 2022. So one of your two scholarship players has struggled to stay on the field because of injury. And your second of your two scholarship players that you're returning is freshman LaTerrence Welch, who hasn't had a ton of college football experience, wasn't a go-to guy by any means in terms of this defense. And that's not a knock on LaTerrence Welch. That's simply just the reality of being a true freshman at a big-time program like LSU. So all of that to say, you have two returning scholarship corners, and neither of them have extensive experience in college football, period, but especially at LSU. So that to me was, you know, priority 1A for rebuilding the defense was through the cornerback position. But LSU has been putting in work to address that. Two most recent transfer portal commits to LSU. First and foremost, Deuce Chestnut, a cornerback transferring in from Syracuse. And let me just say, with a name like Deuce Chestnut, you better have the play to support it. And it sounds like throughout his tenure at Syracuse and his 2 years at Syracuse, he, you know, his name can talk the talk, and he can also walk the walk. In 2021, as a true freshman, he started as a true freshman in all 12 games. He was the first Syracuse corner to start the season opener in 40 years. So that's a huge deal. And obviously, you know, when you're the first one to do something in that long of a period of time, it means you're special. He was named freshman All-American by ESPN, by the Pro Football Focus, by 24/7 Sports. So I think that everybody across the country recognized Deuce Chestnut as being one of the top freshmen in the country, as being one of the top players in the country who was able to contribute in just his first year. And as a freshman, third team All-ACC, runner-up for ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year, had the second most passes defended in the conference, in the ACC, as a true freshman. Total on the season as a true freshman, and out of his two seasons, 2021 and 2022, his true freshman season was his best season. 43 tackles, 3.5 of those for loss, 3 interceptions, 8 pass breakups. As a true freshman, obviously one of the top first-year players in the country. But his production didn't stop there. In his sophomore year, Again, started in all 12 games. And I honestly, to be completely transparent with y'all, I mean, I don't pay attention to Syracuse football. Maybe that's on me. But I don't really feel the need to pay a whole lot of attention to Syracuse football. So I didn't realize this. But Syracuse had a top 20 defense this past year. They're 14th in the nation in pass yards allowed. They're only allowing 185 pass yards per game. So, you know, top 20 defense overall in the season in terms of total defense, top 15 pass defense in 2022. Was not on my bingo card for this season. Did not expect Syracuse to have that great of a defense and that great specifically of a pass defense. And that, of course, was led by Deuce Chestnut. Had 40 tackles on the season. 1.5 of those were for loss. Had 1 interception. So, I mean, Deuce Chestnut, I think what LSU is getting in a player like that is clearly a very aggressive player with a lot of experience. But it doesn't stop with just Deuce Chestnut. LSU also got a commit from Ohio State's J.K. Johnson, a cornerback, a redshirt freshman who committed to LSU after he visited this past weekend. So he played in every game, started in 5 games, and played in every single game in 2022. So he started to start whenever some of the other Ohio State DBs were injured, kind of in the middle of the season. Had 20 tackles on the season as a whole. And I think the interesting thing here with J.K. Johnson is he's from St. Louis, Missouri. He went to DeSmet High School. And that high school name may ring a bell because it's going to be a high school and a name that you are going to get really used to because it's where Makai Wingo went to high school. It's where Mac Markway went to high school. And Mac Markway, of course, a commit in the 2023 class. And who is the common denominator between Makai Wingo, who transferred from Missouri into LSU this past year and has emerged as one of the best leaders on the team and also stepped up big time when Mason Smith tore his ACL against Florida State week one. And he stepped in and was a pretty seamless transition as a sophomore in his first year in the system. And really made massive contributions to this team. What about Mac Markway? A really highly regarded commit recruit in this 2023 class. You know, a 4-star tight end coming out of DeSmet. What do all of those players have in common? What's the one, you know, unifying thing between those players beyond just their high school? They were coached by Robert Steeples. Robert Steeples, LSU's cornerback coach, used to coach at DeSmet High School. So, you know, and you can say, okay, well, it's kind of a coincidence. So what? I think that it's a really great sign that there are players at all position groups. Makai Wingo is a defensive lineman. Mark Markway is a tight end. J.K. Johnson is a corner and will be working very closely with Robert Steeples. Did work very closely with Robert Steeples in high school. I think it's such a wonderful testament to Robert Steeples as a coach. Such a wonderful testament to Robert Steeples as a person. And his ability to recruit and develop players. Because I just named 3 players right there, one of which already made their decision to come to LSU, 2 have decided to come to LSU, and I have to believe it's because of Robert Steeples. So while it's really good to get those players into the program, because LSU needs depth, LSU needs experience at the cornerback position, it's also really nice to know that those coaches that will be coaching those guys that are coming in where they need depth and they need experience, that these guys are bought into him. That these guys will transfer from wherever they went to college to be back with their high school coach because that's how much they believe in them. And if Makai Wingo is any testament to that belief and to, you know, the system that these guys played in high school, I think that you can feel really, really encouraged about it moving forward. But, you know, the cornerback position, a position group that I honestly was really kind of concerned about going into this season and really going into the 2022 season, have those worries been lifted? I'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar, because I'm sure that with the new year, maybe you have a New Year's resolution of eating healthier, getting in shape. But that's really hard to do whenever you love a sweet, delicious treat. But you don't have to compromise delicious and healthy with Built Bar. So we just got through the holidays. I know you want to eat healthier, and Built Bar makes it so much easier to do that because healthy is actually tasty. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, real chocolate, and they come in flavors like churro and peanut butter brownie and coconut almond. Flavors that don't sound healthy, but they absolutely are. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Now, you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. You can still do that, but you can also get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Just head to your local Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, one of my personal favorites, double chocolate or the coconut puffs. Or if you're closer to a Sam's Club, you can run in there. Grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors, brownie butter and churro. Delicious. You can thank me later. That is built.com. Check out Built Bar. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, hear from the big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So I just mentioned, you know, the cornerback position for LSU going into 2022 was a major concern of mine. Rightfully so. LSU going into 2022, Brian Kelly and this entire recruiting staff, this entire coaching staff had to pick up whatever pieces they could. And that's no disrespect to the corners and the defensive backs that Brian Kelly and company collected for the 2022 season. But it was really like this coaching staff went into 2022 and thought, let's find the best players that we can that are bought into this system that can come in and help us right away. But also understanding that we cannot be overly picky because LSU just needed bodies. LSU just needed players. So I picked up a bunch of really wonderful pieces through the transfer portal. Bernard Converse being one of them. Joe Fouché, Greg Brooks, all picked up through the transfer portal, who have emerged to be really great players and big-time contributors for LSU's defense this past year. The only problem with that being those players didn't have many remaining years of eligibility. Like I just mentioned, LSU only retains 2 scholarship corners for the 2023 season, one of which, Seven Banks, was a transfer, and the other, freshman LaTerrence Welch. So that's the difficult dichotomy of picking up players through the transfer portal is, yes, it's a great way to bring in players and to add depth. Yes, it's a great way to help you compete right away because a lot of these players will have former college football experience. But the bad side of that is they have already spent some years of eligibility elsewhere. So it's almost like every single year you're forced to go back and do the same things. Every single year you start again at square one because you recruited all of these players to come in and play for a year in their final year of eligibility. And then they're gone and they go on and do other great things elsewhere. And now you're back at square one, trying to rebuild a position group that you just already rebuilt. That's a whole lot of work. That is a whole lot of work. So how is this year's transfer class different? At least looking at the cornerback position as far as that's concerned, because I think that's the most obvious position group to look at in terms of the fact that LSU has been in the same position in 2022 and entering the 2023 season, is they have to continue to rebuild it because last year they picked up pieces in the transfer portal that only had a single year of eligibility left, which is not a knock on the coaching staff. They did what they had to do and it worked. They found good players that were able to execute the system very well. Now, you have a year under your belt. You have an entire, year to prove yourself and show the rest of the college football world what you're building. So this year is different because just looking at the cornerback position, the players that LSU has picked up through the transfer portal all have at least 2 years of eligibility remaining. J.K. Johnson, of course, the redshirt freshman from Ohio State who committed to LSU, he has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Deuce Chestnut, the corner from Syracuse, is coming into his third year in college football. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Do not forget Denver Harris, who also is joining this transfer portal group of cornerbacks. Denver Harris has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Zy Alexander from Southeastern. That this cornerback class mimics what LSU and Brian Kelly did last year and that they're building it up a lot through the transfer portal, but they're building it through players in the transfer portal that are going to be at LSU for multiple years, that LSU is not going to be forced to rebuild the cornerback group yet again next year. Another difference is LSU is starting to bring in elite cornerback talent through recruiting. So Denver Harris coming in from A&M, Zay Alexander coming in from Southeastern, and then, of course, Deuce Chestnut, of course, J.K. Johnson. All of those pieces are coming in and will be joining in a cornerback room with Javion Toviano, one of the top cornerback recruits in the country, with three-star corner Ashton Stamps, a New Orleans kid, three-star Jeremiah Hughes out of Vegas. So even if those players, I believe Javion Toviano is going to be the kind of player that can come in and help you right away and play right away. I don't necessarily know if I can say that. I'm not going to say that they can't, that they don't have the ability to, but I don't feel as confident in saying that about Ashton Stamps and Jeremiah Hughes as I do with Javion Toviano, just simply based off of their high school profiles. But that's okay, because those two corners in Ashton Stamps and Jeremiah Hughes, they're now afforded the time to be able to be developed, because they have an entire room of cornerbacks that have 2 and 3 years of eligibility remaining. And those corners have experience in college football and can come in and contribute right away and also help develop some of these younger guys as well. So the difference between these 2 years that we have of Brian Kelly and company recruiting through the transfer portal for the cornerback position is last year it was just, let's just pick up the pieces that we can. This year, it's we're going to be a whole lot more strategic in building this position group in the future. Because don't forget, Brian Kelly mentioned that his long-term goal for this team is not to have to go to the transfer portal. It's to not have to defer to the transfer portal. It's just recruiting and developing top talent from the source and keeping them at LSU. And that kind of philosophy is very similar to another team in the SEC that I think LSU would really enjoy to emulate. I'll get into that coming up next after these words. LSU bringing in much needed defensive depth through the transfer portal. And I can see the system falling into place. That you recruit through the transfer portal because you have to, because let's not forget, we are a calendar year away from LSU having 39 players, scholarship players in a bowl game. This team doesn't quite have the depth or the rotation from the bottom up to be able to just not recruit through the transfer portal. And that's a fine thing. You want to go out and find great talent that can help your football team. But let's not forget that just a couple months ago, maybe even like a month ago, Brian Kelly said that his long-term goal was to not have to rely on the transfer portal, was to not have to defer to the transfer portal in order to build up a reputable team year over year. I tend to live in the school of thought where you got to have both. You got to be able to recruit through the transfer portal and find some of the top players in the country that might be underrated or might not have a clear starting spot carved for them in their school that they currently attend. You know, LSU has been the beneficiary of that so many times. Let's not forget about a quarterback that we know and love very dearly that came to LSU via the transfer portal, cough, cough, Joe Burrow. Let's not forget that LSU's starting quarterback in 2022 was an acquisition through the transfer portal. There are so many benefits of recruiting through the transfer portal, but you can't just do that because then you're left where LSU is left at the cornerback position, re-recruiting every single year because all of your guys are either going to the NFL or only have 1 year of eligibility remaining. So you also have to recruit. You also have to find the top talent from high school, get the 4 and 5 stars into your program, get them developed. And then that's where you kind of create this just plug and play kind of system that the Alabamas of the world have seemed to have perfected. But Brian Kelly's philosophy moving forward is to not have to rely on the transfer portal. That also is something that we have seen come to fruition at Georgia. Georgia didn't have a single player transfer out of the program. Georgia has gotten to the point in the Kirby Smart regime where they no longer have to defer to building up talent via the transfer portal. And that doesn't mean that I think that Kirby Smart thinks that he's above the transfer portal. That doesn't mean that I don't think that Georgia won't go out and find elite talent via the transfer portal. It just means they haven't had to. And if you watched the national championship last night, that's the kind of success that I want my team to have. The greatest, the biggest margin of victory in bowl history, which that was really fun that LSU had that that reputation, that record for all of a week when Georgia beats TCU 65-7 and LSU beats Purdue 63-7. That was really short-lived and fun while we had it. Anyways, I want to follow that kind of system. I highlighted on the podcast yesterday what I think the blueprint has been for Alabama and for Georgia to be the kind of teams that are back every single year and competing for a national title every single year, being in the conversation for a national title every single year. And some of those teams had elite quarterbacks. Some of those teams had elite defenses. Some of them had game manager quarterbacks. But the one theme that kind of that was consistent throughout all of Alabama's great teams, through Georgia's national championship winning teams in 2021 and 2022, was that they have elite talent from the top to the bottom. That you can have a great team one year, and when all of those players leave to go wherever they go, the next year, well, we'll just bring in that other guy who also was a 4- or 5-star recruit and also can, you know, play at a very high level in college football. That's the difference. So what can LSU be in 2023? Now that LSU and Brian Kelly are starting to work up a talent pool, and they're starting to get to the point now that Brian Kelly has a year underneath him, he has 2 recruiting classes that he's brought in, 2 transfer portal classes that he has brought in and will continue to bring in for the 2023 season. How has that set up LSU for success that more mimics maybe the Alabamas and the Georgias rather than the success or lack thereof that LSU had in 2020 and 2021? There are way too early rankings and way too early Vegas odds for the College Football Playoff National Championship in 2023. But I still think it's pretty encouraging. I still think it's a wonderful testament to what Brian Kelly and the entire coaching staff did in 2022. Now, all of that being said, I understand, and I've said it so many times, success is not linear. Just because you have an outstanding year one does not mean that you'll have an outstanding-er, not a word, year in the following year. Let's not forget, Kirby Smart brought the Georgia Bulldogs to the national championship in 2017, and they didn't make it back there until 2021 when they won it all. They had a 4-year hiatus where Georgia wasn't in the college football playoff conversation. So success is not linear. You don't build upon success every single year. Of course, ideally you would, but that's not necessarily the case. That's not necessarily realistic. But looking at the odds and looking at how the rest of the college football world views LSU, going into the 2022 season, LSU had plus 7,500 odds to win the national championship. Plus 7,500. This year, the way too early odds, and I know it's January 10th, 2022. The 2023 season doesn't kick off for another 7 months, 8 months, however long it is. But LSU already has considerable better odds via Vegas than they did last year. And I know that you could take that as meaning nothing. But I think it's at least something tangible that we can look at to say, look at the improvements this team has made year over year. From plus 7,500 odds preseason to win the national championship to now plus 1,400. Still pretty steep odds, but it's improvement. I look at the way too early college football rankings for 2023. I don't even think LSU was ranked preseason last year. Now LSU, depending on whatever, you know, way too early ranking you see, or the one that you subscribe to, LSU's top 10. Everybody is looking at LSU to make those improvements in 2023, to be in the conversation in 2023. I'm not saying that LSU is all of a sudden Alabama or Georgia after 1 year of Brian Kelly and bringing in a really good recruiting class and bringing in a ton of talent via the transfer portal. But what I am saying is when everybody else in college football has taken notice to what this coaching staff has done, the changes they have made, and the talent they have brought in, It's worth looking at. And to me, it's a really good indication that this program is on the right track. It doesn't happen overnight. It's really not easy. But Kirby Smart's been at Georgia since 2016. That didn't happen overnight. And now Georgia became the very first team in college football playoff history to win back-to-back national championships. Sometimes things take time. But to me, where it stands right now, what I'm seeing from the outside looking in, LSU is on the right track. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make your second listen today, the brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the college basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.